Good morning, everyone. So good morning, everyone. This is the use of that online recording for Lecture 8, Risk Management. And today, the topic for risk management is all around crisis management and essentially business continuity. So we're going to start with an introduction, determine what crisis management is, how does it arise, what happens in terms of a disaster, disaster recovery, crisis management team, crisis management plan, continuity planning and management, and the impacts that we have through some threat analysis for future reference. Also, we'll be looking at essentially some of the business continuity planning that I've done, a few videos along the way. So let me just start out by showing you what might be a crisis, an event like this happening. This is a crisis for the actual shipping company. And I'm also going to show you a video regarding a recent crisis that happened in Melbourne. And how do we manage those crises and talk through that? So let's have a look at this video.
Keep looking straight ahead here. Just above the road, the silhouette of a twin-engine aircraft with five people on board. It then disappears into a retail park on the right, crashing into a warehouse. The driver of the vehicle goes into the retail park, and the plume of black smoke can be seen on the left. The plane was full of fuel. There was nothing anyone could do.
He sort of was up, and then he banked around to his left, quite sharp, and he nearly clipped the top of these the signings here. I thought, geez, he's very low, and I thought, oh, he's going to go up. And then, evidently, he clipped something, whether it be the building there or that, and then it plummeted to the ground and into a fireball.
The pilot was Australian. The four passengers were American tourists going on a golfing trip. The Super King aircraft has a good safety record. One of its wheels was thrown onto the road. The crash happened at 9 in the morning, just before the shops opened. Incredibly, no one on the ground was hurt.
Close to taking off from the runway, called in a mayday. We understand that there potentially was a catastrophic engine failure, but we're unsure at this stage. You're going to slight degree of altitude.
As the recovery operation began, there was also the task of tracing the bereaved families.
Today's a desperately sad day, a very, very sad day for our state. A number of people have died as a result of what is the worst civil aviation accident that our state has seen for 30 years.
Engine failure is the presumed cause. The pilots managed to clear the road, but there simply wasn't time to get back to the runway. Simon Weiger, 5 News.
All right, so that is an example of crisis management. And essentially, crisis management requires people to be on the alert. And crisis management has got three areas. One is preventative action. Okay, one is what happens when the event actually happens. And the third section is the recovery, where you need to execute a business continuity plan, right, and have a team work out what's the best plan to move forward. Now, from a preventative sense, which is your far left, risk management planning helps to improve the planning around risks and risk events. But however, no doubt you can't be completely prepared when an event such as the Melbourne aircraft disaster happened. So an event does happen, and what do we need to do at that particular point in time? We have to go into recovery mode. So a crisis defined as a major unplanned event, which either is in itself a major problem or leads to a development of a major problem. So for instance, the actual issue with the airplane, that led in itself to many accidents, a lot of third party being involved, and events actually sort of taking place as things unfolded. Now, a crisis in itself is a situation which requires beyond normal capacity and structures to deal effectively with the situation. Crisis management in itself is an issue where people need to be on the alert and aware. So crisis management in this day and age, especially right now with what we're going through with the coronavirus, that's a crisis management situation. It's an important part of strategic management. Again, not all events can be foreseen, but when it can, there needs to be planning around that and to have a business continuity plan. I'd like to show you a quick video around crisis management and what that might be from the difference between crisis management and crisis sort of training. This is an important video.
Help you plan more effectively for a potential disaster. Business continuity and disaster recovery are amongst the most unpleasant tasks of business planning, but they also offer some of the highest paybacks. Unfortunately, many IT professionals and business executives seem to perceive business continuity and disaster recovery planning as a type of black hole which endlessly consumes time and resources in order to prepare for an event that will probably never happen. And by the time that the true value of these processes become apparent, it's probably already too late to act. Too often, when asked how they prepare for an emergency, companies will say that they back up their data every day. Sadly, this is not enough. For example, it's not uncommon for companies to back up their systems and lock the backup tapes inside of a fire-retardant safe.
Just to put this into perspective, what they're talking about is crisis management in event of an IT situation and recovery through the disaster planning system. Essentially, this can happen in any situation. For instance, if what we're going through right now with the coronavirus, that could be an issue as well where IT is compromised. So let's hear this further.
Fires are amongst the most common catastrophic disasters to affect businesses. But although these safes are fireproof, they won't stop the backup tapes from melting. In order to be effective, backups must be taken to an off-site location. Many authoritative sources have reported that 80% of companies that suffer critical data loss will close their doors within 2 years. In addition to data protection, there are a number of legal, public relations, organizational, and safety considerations which must be taken into account. In the chaos of an emergency, the broken window effect might come into play. Normally ethical employees might see an absence of authority and leadership as an opportunity for fraud or theft. If HR is unable to maintain payroll functionality in a disaster, this may cause severe inconvenience to employees who are relying on that money to make emergency purchases, such as food, hotel rooms, or transportation. After an emergency, your company might be forced to demonstrate to a judge that it had employed proper disaster planning best practices in order to minimize the damage to employees, customers, and stakeholders. Failure to show that you were adequately prepared can result in severe legal penalties. As you can see, this is a company-wide problem. Preparing for disaster can be very complex and requires a more strategic approach. Although IT is usually in charge of implementing the business continuity and disaster recovery plans, the actual planning process should not be placed solely on the shoulders of the IT department. Without proper insight into the business processes of each department, it will be impossible for IT or anyone else in the company to adequately prepare and budget for a disaster. While it's said that business continuity and disaster recovery planning should primarily be the responsibility of the IT department, the reasons for this aren't quite obvious. One of the biggest mistakes is to assume that because IT is in charge of disaster planning, that business continuity and disaster recovery should be strictly approached from a technological point of view. But as
so I'm just stopping here to look at this particular comment that you made about IT, and IT essentially is a and only a critical sort of component. When we look at business continuity, there could be a lot of different areas within the actual system in itself that requires improvement and also preparedness to maintain business continuity. So IT being one, could be also resourcing, could be HR, could be production, could be different areas that, as we discussed in the lectures previously. Let's carry on with this particular video.
That illustrated previously, disaster planning is a business problem that affects everyone in the company, from the CEO to the frontline working staff. Since every piece of information that flows through the company will eventually pass through the IT department, IT personnel are in the unique position of having deep insight and understanding of the daily operations of each department, as well as constant communications with key decision makers within those departments. This unique position is the real reason why IT should be tasked with disaster planning. But despite this, a plan must be developed and implemented with top-down support across all organizational departments. Without this insight and cross-departmental participation, it will be impossible to put together a proper plan. So what do we mean when we say disaster recovery and business continuity? Although the two terms seem very similar and have a lot of overlap, they are actually quite different. Your company needs to know the difference between the two and create a detailed plan for each. The disaster recovery plan stipulates how a company will prepare for a disaster, what the company's response will be in the event of a disaster, and what steps it will take to ensure that operations be restored. This plan must include many possible scenarios, since the causes of disaster can vary greatly. These can include things such as deliberate criminal activity, natural disaster such as fire, a stolen laptop, power outages, a terrorist attack. There are hundreds of possible disaster scenarios, and they vary based on culture, geography, and industry. It's also important that the disaster recovery plan be distributed across the organization so that everyone knows their role within the plan. When a real disaster occurs, things can get very hazy, so everybody must know their own roles within the disaster recovery process and also know how to take over the roles of teammates who are unable to perform their duties. The business continuity plan is a fairly new methodology that stipulates what steps a company must take to minimize the effects of service interruption. Back when companies were primarily paper-driven and information processing was done using batch processing, companies could tolerate a few days of downtime. But as technology became faster and cheaper, companies began computerizing more of their critical business activities. Companies needed to have systems in place that would minimize the impact of unplanned downtime. The first major event to demonstrate the importance of business continuity planning was the Y2K crisis. Since then, it's been a standard function of corporate IT planning. One typical example of business continuity would be the electric generators used by hospitals to ensure that patients can still be cared for in the event of a power outage. Although the ideal IT continuity solution would be to have all of the company servers replicated to an off-site location, this is often unnecessary and prohibitively expensive. Another alternative would be to triage different business processes and assign resources only to the most critical IT systems. This requires insight into the business priorities of other departments. For example, many companies will argue that the email servers are business critical, but what will the scope be in an emergency? Do employees only need to send and receive emails? Do employees only need access to email archives? Will employees need access to shared schedules and contact lists during this downtime? Will employees be sending or receiving attachments during this downtime? How many locations within the organization will require email access? Will email access be provided for employees across the enterprise or only for certain key people? As scope grows, so does the complexity and cost of maintaining high availability for these systems. If the credit card system at a supermarket goes offline, they could lose a lot of money. But the cost of such an incident is rarely enough to justify the purchase of a second credit card system. A more cost-effective solution would be to process credit cards manually using a roller imprinter until the main systems come back online. Within recent years, many companies have started using cloud-based applications because of the resiliency and ability to continue operating in the event that the primary company data center should go offline. And that's the major difference in a nutshell. Disaster recovery describes all of the steps involved in planning and adapting to potential disaster, with a roadmap which will restore operations while minimizing the long-term negative impact on the company. Business continuity ensures that all of the most essential business functions will remain available after a disaster, until the disaster recovery process can be completed. This will minimize the short-term negative impact of the event on the company, its employees, and its customers. I hope that this presentation was helpful to you. If your company would like help with its disaster recovery or business continuity, make sure to visit Story.
All right, we'll just stop this here and we'll carry on with the actual lecture in itself. So you can see there's a vast difference In terms of what a disaster recovery plan and a business continuity plan. This is just only from an IT perspective. So let's drill down more into this detail here. Disaster recovery, or disaster, if you look at it, is a serious disruption to human, material, economic losses. And it's unplanned. You can't really plan it. Within crises, there are different things that actually happen. Business scandals, death or resignation, bankruptcy, hostile takeovers, security breaches, staff redundancies, and all of those mentioned in this particular slide 12. Now, as we go on to slide 13, it shows that there is an escalation of the actual crisis that happens. There's a part where it gestates, and then you know you have it escalating. You might plateau at certain times. You might have a second escalation, a plateau, a resolution, and then damage in terms of reputation, etc. So timing dictates what might actually happen. Timing also would say when these things might happen. This is a critical sort of thinking process when you start looking at disaster recovery planning and business continuity planning. And having that in mind, business continuity is ensuring that things work and you can manage them and it's still functioning to support the actual business, whereas recovery, if it all does happen, what action planning do you need to go into to get the systems to recover and to start to function? So that's the main difference here. So within crisis control, as you can look from slide 14, you know, there's an escalation point. If there's no control, then you go into serious incidents. If there's containment and control with a yes, then you go into containment and recovery. So stakeholders is always, in a crisis, are employees, directors, whoever that's actually involved in the company, suppliers and customers, as suggested by slide 15. Now, if you look at media in crisis, sometimes media tends to take it the wrong way and they tend to go into bad news sort of mode. Now, that can also damage reputation or escalate the situation. Crisis management team basically is a team that's there to enable and empower and to actually manage the actual sort of situation. They're there solely for this whole purpose of actually maintaining crisis and improving the situation or getting to recovery mode when it does happen. Okay, people have to have individual roles. They need to be equipped for the roles. They need to be tested for the roles. Also, they need to know each other as team members so they can function well. Crisis management team, for example, here you might see this particular chart, is the team leader with the secretary and the CEO. CEO usually at that point would be inundated with a lot of information and a lot of things that needs to be done. He might not actually have that particular capability or the capacity at that particular point to go ahead and improve on the situation. Crisis management team simplified. You have the operational recovery team, as we have over here. And you've got the customer relations sort of team. And finally, you have, you know, the teams that are there to facilitate the management and the recovery of the actual sort of situation. Now we move on to slide 20. Team leaders might be varied actual roles, but they certainly do have to have particular characteristics. Okay, they need to be decisive, they have the authority. They also need to apply diplomacy and communicate effectively in the whole situation. The Crisis Command Center, CPM, will be the locality where crisis is actually sort of managed and maintained at this particular point in time. There will be multiple purpose rooms, for instance, for training or for video communication in a particular situation. Crisis management plan, as suggested by slide 22, must involve the CEO, must involve the board. There's some corporate policies that are involved. There's also accountability in terms of it being essential. There must be a planned budget, and also there must be a test budget for this particular situation. Recovery is the key point here. Recovery needs to happen quickly. If you've got a good crisis management plan or a business continuity plan, once it kicks in, recovery needs to come in ASAP, right? And this is super important. They need to be determined by the nature of the crisis and also the continuity plan to invoke that. We've already discussed this further in the actual video. Let's move on to continuity management planning. Continuity management planning provides the available resources and processes to ensure that there's critical objectives that carry on. also within business continuity planning principles, frameworks, and verifications. Now, this does align very similar to the ISO 31000 standard that we've been using in this class thus far. However, there is an additional important. These processes need to be done ahead of time, they need to be tested, and they need to be ensured that when it does happen, continuity planning and disaster recovery kicks in. I can't stress that even more. Right, business impact analysis. Now, in your planning process, what happens is that you need to understand what are the impacts to the actual sort of business, what are the consequences, what are the likelihoods of it happening, and how severe these consequences. As we mentioned before, if you're going to devise a risk matrix and a risk register, you need to have consequence and also likelihood, but you have to attach a severity metric to this business impact. And hence this analysis needs to be done, okay? So, and the BIA as a business impact analysis happens at businesses, units and departments. You know, it requires contact details and information. There's various types of impact happens over time and its operational impacts. Now, duration of disruption, that is super important. If you've done your planning ahead of time, recovery will be quick, and hence the duration of this the actual disruption is very, very fast. Now, the only way to do that is that you quantify the disruptions based on the likelihood and consequences, as this particular slide 29 actually mentions that. It's part of the organization, and the whole of the organization need to carry this out in terms of doing its analysis ahead of time. Now, this concept here of maximum acceptable outage, MAO, is the maximum time a business can actually sort of be in crisis before critical business functions start to get disrupted or deteriorate or non-function at all. We want to be able to minimize this time in terms of the actual outage time as much as possible. Now, getting to the next one, critical business functions need to kick in at that particular point in time. They also need to go into essentials for survival. Resourcing needs to be looked at. Critical objectives needs to be maintained and to be improved upon, right? So these functions will kick in. They need to be in recovery mode to ensure that they can survive and meet critical objectives. Crisis responses and BCP. This response here is there's an emergency response, needs to be carried out ASAP. There's a continuity response. They meet certain critical processes that meet certain critical requirements, need to have a continuity plan, and then they need to go into a recovery response, okay, which is resources that are backed by the organization pre-crisis condition. They already have a plan to recover in when the actual crisis does occur. Now, business risk and continuing planning is from this particular slide. They are interrelated. They are interrelated. I can't stress that more. Risk management and business continuity planning are one of the same. However, there are more detailed plans in business continuity planning. When a crisis happens, they need to have the resources. They need to be able to be managed. They need to have a chain of command. And therefore, this is an important sort of part in the actual continuity planning sort of process. Six elements of BCP, as I mentioned here, understanding the environment. What's the context of the business? Who are the major stakeholders? Okay. Number two, parts of the businesses are critical for short-term and long-term success. Quantifying disruptions and threats in terms of business processes. Four, documentation is super important. You need to have a plan. It needs to be available to everyone. You need to have a process, number five, and you also need to be available for everyone to know what to do. Ensuring, number six, that stakeholders and employees are aware. Super important. Everyone needs to know. Okay? These nine steps in BCP and seven elements of the risk management process from the ISO 31000 system are there to ensure that risks are dealt with and BCP deals with risks impacts on a timely fashion. Can't stress that even more. So the 9 steps below: commencement, when the actual crisis happened, there needs to be a scope and objective of the actual process, who's committed within the management team, who are the actual project teams. And as we've seen before previously, the crisis team needs to be a team in itself that reports directly to the CEO. They kick into action. Risk and vulnerability analysis, that's impact on processes, that's done, the consequence and the likelihood are assessed. And through the impacts analysis, number 3, you determine a maximum outage time, follow a response strategy. There's resources there and documentation is in place. Communication is in place. Number 7, training is done in order to maintain and test the process before, during and after. Okay, activation and deployment needs to happen during the actual plan in itself, during the crisis. There needs to be a first off plan that happens. The business recovery team, they need to have technology, facilities and human resource. You need to be able to communicate effectively. Criteria for analysis here is ISO 31000, the consequence rating, as I mentioned to you, the insignificant consequence impact for financial and non-financial operations. Strategy selection is an important thing. You can't have resources in all places at one time. You need to be able to look at the situation and deal with the emergency and the recovery within that particular time frame with the right amount of resource. What's the cost? How is it going to be implemented? What are the resources required? What are the contact details for stakeholders? These are all key questions that a business continuity team needs to think about upfront. Selection strategy, as this particular graph here in slide 43 mentions, it is an impact versus time. The longer the time with a recovery plan, which is the curve that's going upwards or downwards, the cost and the time of the impact will be reduced. If there's no particular contingency planning, as you can see with the upward curve, the time and the costs will increase. So hence, impact is a direct inverse correlation to cost. If the cost tends to actually reduce and you've got an impact analysis or a crisis plan initially from the left-hand side of the graph, you can notice that the cost to recover is high. But if you're increasing your time and you've got the plans in place, the cost will reduce and the impacts will actually reduce as well if you have the right plan in place. For example, the cost of strategy and recovery time here, you have computer center, as we've spoken before, in an IT sort of situation. In an active recovery site, in minutes, your cost will be high. If you've got no strategy over months, it would accumulate. However, you might have a low cost, but the consequence of that from various perspectives might increase. Okay, resourcing from slide 45. You need to have the right people here, you have to have the right contacts, whether it's third party, contract personnel to help you to resource yourself, the financial requirements that need to happen also needs to be there. Communication strategy is important, okay, right messaging, right deployment, right management, sort of communication to staff and the external world. Testing needs to be done. It could be done here from the perspective of doing a desktop testing. It's pre-crisis, working out desktop scenarios. Further testing can be done through live scenarios, notifications and call-outs, and also full business recovery sort of situational deployment. Issues that come up here is this: never have the bad attitude of saying it will never happen to us, because you can never know when it's going to happen. Business continuity needs to be tested fully. Full testing will ensure that the cost of the impact is reduced and the severity of the impact is reduced as well. So in summary, whatever we actually have spoken about today, we've talked about crisis, We looked at the Melbourne crisis and how they went into crisis mode. Okay, we've looked at the IT sort of response between business continuity planning and disaster recovery, the crisis management plan. We talked about the teams, the planning, the use of the business continuity standard that you don't really need to know too much about as long as you maintain that there is a relationship between the ISO 31000 standard that you've been using and the business continuity standard and business continuity planning. So in summary, what we need to continue right now after we finish this lecture is to carry on the article review on Canvas. Just two articles I'll mention to you there, and also then the submission of your second assignment. I'll give you some preparations. Thank you so much for your attention.
So going on at the moment. This is analysis for crisis management.